opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the Alien Cyborgs Geek Speak Geek Cast members and do not necessarily reflect the official positions or policies of any of the Alien Cyborgs partners. This podcast is intended for a mature audience due to its use of adult language, sexual situations, violence, and references to alcohol and drug use. Listener discretion is advised.
Alien Cyborgs.
Podcasting from the secret hideout somewhere in Los Angeles, California. You're listening to the Geek Speak Geek Podcast with Peter the Swordsman Tullio, Movie Matt Diamond, and Jeff Slash Malone. So, what's your login and password?
Alien Cyborgs are go.
Hey, you guys, what's up? It's Jet Black here with another Alien Cyborgs Geek Speak Geek podcast. I'm here with Magnetic Matt Dinan.
I'm hiding behind the giant penny here.
And unfortunately, Peter the Swordsman Tullio could not be here because at the time being he has a real job, unlike me who is currently unemployed. Actually, I'm not. I'm the editor-in-chief of AlienCyborgs.com, and that is a...
That's job enough.
It's job enough, but it's just not paying me. Yet. So any of you people out there listening, any one of our two listeners who wants to be a sponsor and
send us some money. Yeah,
pay for some advertising, send us some money, make a wish foundation. I don't know. Please give us something. So what's up, Matt? We've been away from the microphone for a little bit. How have you been?
Meh.
Meh. To borrow
to use
from
the popular, later Latter-day Aughts colloquialism. Just meh. Just
really?
I don't know.
I need
something more to get my ire up, I guess. But we got a bunch of topics today.
We do have a bunch of topics
that have raised my ire.
Your
so,
ire, you know. Your dandruff, and all kinds of other stuff.
My dandruff?
Yeah,
dander, you mean?
Or your dander. Yeah. To make your dander rough.
Head and shoulders, right?
Because you only have one chance to make a second impression. Which is true also.
that it is.
We got a big show today. We've got a whole lot of stuff in the past week.
It's so big. And, oh, yeah.
And girthy. Because apparently that's what's more important if you ask any of the geeky ladies out there.
It's like a soda can.
It's like a hockey puck.
It's like putting a Coke up in you.
It's like putting a tuna can.
And just as smelly.
I've been okay. I've been actually sick myself. I was down for a week and a half. I had actually spent one day sleeping for 15 hours.
Damn.
Have you ever slept 15? Well, it wasn't 15. It was like kind of in and out.
In and out with your tuna cock?
In and out with my tuna cock and the Sopranos. I finished off the Sopranos in a fevered pitch.
It's probably better to finish it in a fever pitch, yeah, and you're not so annoyed by it.
Because
I want to say Toto, but of course it's not his journey. When Toto comes on.
When Toto comes on and talks about the rains down in Africa. No, when Journey finally, oh my God.
Yeah.
How does something that starts off so good just tank?
I don't know. That's a very good question. What happened to the last season of Sopranos? Why?
But not even the it seems like they.
Oh, do you mean the last episode or there's the? Because I was kind of disappointed with most of the last season.
No. After the third or fourth season, it just kind of like felt like they were stretching.
Well, they were. I mean, here's the problem. After like the first two seasons, you can put together as one awesome piece of fantabulousness.
Yes, ness.
After that, it does. It starts to go downhill pretty quick. From third, fourth season, it starts to go downhill. And you start to have this where every time the new season's up and you tune in, it's like the first episode is, hey, guess what? Some character you've never heard of just got out of prison.
Yeah,
and they're going to be the dick for the next, 12 episodes. And then they're going to get killed.
Yeah, special guest starring Joey Pants.
Like, whether it's Pantoliano, whether it's Tino
Buscemi.
Whether it's Buscemi or it's Robert Loggia. Like, every season, somebody new gets out of jail and it's like, hey, we've never talked about them before, but they're an important member of the family that Tony used to spend time with.
Maybe they just ran out of Italian-American actors to bring onto the show.
They used everybody from Goodfellas. Almost everybody from...
Except for Henry Hill. Well,
all but the biggies.
The biggies. Anyway... speaking of Joey Pants...
Running out of ideas.
Joey Pants was in the first run of Daredevil as Ben Ulrich.
Ooh, transition.
Hey, you know what? I'm trying. I'm really trying because usually it's like, okay, anyway, next we got Daredevil. And, Bishop, who used to be with the show, always gave me shit. And You give me shit. Nah, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Anyway, Daredevil.
So Daredevil.
What do you know about Daredevil? You posted something, and you're a lot more glib and eloquent than I am. So what do you know about...
I'm glib.
What about this Daredevil thing?
Well, it appears that yet again we're in one of these scenarios, just like with the Man of Steel and just like with Amazing Spider-Man, where we're down to the wire. We've got 2 months, apparently. From what I read, again, I'm not the source here. This is just the internet scuttlebutt. Yeah, I said scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt.
Apparently, we're down to about 2 months before, I think it's Fox.
20th
has
Century
to,
Fox,
has
yes.
to have something. Daredevil has to be in production, has to start. Pre-prod's got to get its ass in gear, or they lose the rights back to Marvel.
Woohoo!
And, you know, Marvel, Disney, whatever you want to call it now, but Marvel Studios under Disney, under the blanket of...
Sure, whatever, okay. Buena Vista, Disney.
It's looking like maybe we're going to get us some Daredevil, some real Daredevil action, some Marvel taking Daredevil back action. Because the news today was that Joe Carnahan of Smoking Aces and A-Team fame, or more recently The Gray.
Right, yeah, The Gray.
He had been pitching around in talks, I guess, with different ideas on how to redo Daredevil. Reboot, reimagine, whatever the fuck you want to call it. But, you know, redo Daredevil in some sort of a...
I liked where he was going, though.
70s Death Wish style.
I love that. I love that 70s feel. He actually tweeted today, and this is from Joe Carnahan, straight from his Twitter. And I quote, "I think my idea for a certain retro, red-suited, Serpico-styled superhero went up in smoke today, kids. We shall see. Time is not on anyone's side."
Well, it's on Marvel's side. You want to see a Daredevil crossover coming up in the next Avengers movie? Cross your fingers they don't get a reboot going.
I hope they don't.
No, I don't think they would bring him into Avengers. I'm just, you know.
But it's like what you said before about the Avengers, you know? It's like, hey, who's free right now that we can spice up the Avengers, you know?
And they're not. They've got so many characters they could be using, and instead they're going to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really?
This doesn't make sense to me.
And it's so funny, I was just about to go. And they could have used that raccoon guy from...
Yeah, exactly.
From Guardians of the Galaxy. I am a pretty decent Marvel, you know, fan. You'd say you are. You host your own podcast with Kathy Horlick called Matt and Cat Have Back Issues, comic book related. How much do you know about the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Well, it's funny you ask.
Is it? Well, I'm up for a laugh.
Actually, it's not so much, no. I read way back in the day, back in 1990.
Oh, we're jumping into way back machine.
Marvel did this deal where they were kind of like what DC did with the 52 in a way, where we're going to launch new titles, yada yada. So Marvel had this thing where they put out a new title every month for 5 or 6 months. I forget what it was exactly. And this was like the prime comic time for me. Like I was at... peaking out in a way in my comic loving.
And when was this? Late 90s or early?
This was
late
1990 80s? Itself.
Oh, 1990. Okay. Things got bad.
And back to back to back, it was Ghost Rider and Shadowhawk and the New Warriors, Sleepwalker, I think Namor, and the Guardians of the Galaxy. I think we're the 6. Or is that 5? I'm kind of not sure how many I just named, but they put them out one by one by one. And, like, we had this particular hatred, love, hate, whatever, for New Warriors, and I kind of liked Darkhawk for a while. Sleepwalker sucked. Ghost Rider was the big breakout hit and became, like...
Was that right when they were doing Midnight Sun?
This is all before Midnight Sun. That was practically invented because... Everything to do with that was invented because of Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Like, when they rebooted Ghost Rider in 1990, it went off the charts.
Okay.
And he's, I mean, within 6 months, he was a guest star in every fucking magazine they published. You know what I mean? Like, he was so popular immediately. They were like, we can't print Ghost Rider pictures quick enough.
Yeah.
So pretty soon they're like, let's bring back Johnny Blaze. Let's bring back Morbius, the living vampire. Let's bring back Blade. Let's bring back every 70s, like, occult character we can, because we're going to just milk the Ghost Rider teat for all the fiery brimstone milk it's worth.
Devil shit that it's worth.
Yeah, yeah. And most of it kind of sucked, but... You know, the original reboot, like when Ghost Rider first came out the second time there,
right? Not
it
in the
started
70s.
Out really good,
right?
Like it was a pretty solid comic for the first 6 or 8 issues, and it went downhill pretty quick.
You know, my thing with the Ghost Rider is that, and to an extent, kind of the Punisher, is that graphically, to look at said character, he's a cool looking character.
He's
a motorcycle guy with a flaming skull, just like the Punisher had that cool, you know, skull shirt. But I don't know that people really liked the Ghost Rider. I think they liked his look more
so the movie, you mean?
Not even the comic. I just think people just liked his look more than they liked the comic.
Oh, it was better as a pinup, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the thing. On one hand, yes, because Ghost Rider as a character, it's not like Spider-Man, the heroic and lovable. He's the friendly neighborhood. I mean, he's trying. He's doing his thing. Or Captain America, the idealist. Most other comic book characters, you know, you've got a better way, a better jumping off point emotionally to get into them. Ghost Rider is a very flat, one note.
Yeah.
I'm the spirit of vengeance.
Yeah.
You've done evil. I'm
going to stare.
And early on, it was, I'm going to fucking tear you up. And then by about the sixth issue, suddenly they're retconning it already and saying, no, he doesn't kill people. He only pen and stares them.
And their soul gets burned. But if you watch
them, look at the first couple issues, I mean, people are getting torn apart by his chain. His chain flies into pieces, and razors are going through guys. And
razors.
But then pretty soon they're saying, no, he's totally... They toned him down quick. Even though it was the 90s and things were just going to get even more violent, the backlash came quick and they toned him down to be a little more friendly within about 6 months or so.
Speaking of Ghost Rider, it seems like they kind of were wide of the mark on the first movie with...
were they?
And then on the second movie, they tried to kind of like grit it up a bit more. But... maybe it needs a Christopher Nolan treatment of some sort, you know?
Ooh. See, that's the problem, though. You can't really do realistic Ghost Rider. He's too far out.
Well,
you know, I mean, he's a demon. He's a flaming skull biker.
Sure, but make it more gritty, then.
The second one at least got the look better.
Yes, that's true.
That was the thing. There's many, many, many things wrong with the first Ghost Rider movie, of course, as almost anybody listening will probably agree.
Agree with, yes.
Agreed. I don't know anybody who thought that was a great movie. Some people, a little bit apologetic. No, it's not that bad, but they still won't say it's great.
It's Luke Cage. I mean, Luke Cage.
Nick Cage?
Him, too. It's Nick Cage.
No, that's where his name comes from.
No.
He's totally named. He named himself after Luke Cage, yeah.
Get out of here.
He's a Coppola. His name's Coppola.
I know he's a Coppola.
He's.
And I know he's also a huge comic book fan.
You know,
so that would make sense.
Do you know what his son's name is?
Oh, God.
Kal-El. But his son is either Kal-El or Jor-El.
You're right. I do remember reading that and rolling my eyes like
just like
just
Kevin
did.
Smith with his daughter Harley Quinn.
Okay.
I mean, as far as celebrity baby names go,
sure,
there's worse.
It could have been Bear Blue.
It's better than Apple.
No, it was... it was what's her name who chooses food for him? Alicia Silverstone named her son Bear Blue, who chews her food and regurgitates it back into his mouth like a mama bird.
So she's a step up from that that crazy queen on Game of Thrones who's still
breastfeeding.
Nursing, breastfeeding her 9-year-old.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We are heading to the 15-minute mark, so we're going to wrap this section up. And we're going to talk more about Daredevil right after these messages. We'll be right back.
Alien cyborgs are go.
Oh, alien cyborgs.
Check 1-2, check 1-2. Geek Speak Geek Podcast. Podcasting from the City of Angels. Where else?
Hey guys, what's up? It's Jed over at Alien Cyborgs, and I'm hanging out here with the Baroness Ursula.
Hello.
Hello, Baroness. What are you doing?
Reading the latest issue of Game Informer.
Awesome. Anything good?
Not really.
Well, that's okay. That's not what we're here to talk about anyway. What we're here to talk about is AlienCyborgs.com and how we want you to go over to Facebook, look up AlienCyborgs.com in the search bar, and when you find us, hit the like button. That way, you get all the updates on our page. You'll see some fun geeky stuff that we post and some good stuff that other people post as well. And you'll also be able to find out when the latest blogs and podcasts are available over at AlienCyborgs.com. Oh, and don't forget to follow us on the Twitter. Say goodbye to the Sock Baroness.
Goodbye, Sock.
Later.
Hey, this is Seychelle Gabriel from TNT's Falling Skies, and I listen to the Geek Speak Geek podcast on AlienCyborgs.com. Boom.
Hey guys, what it is? Jet Black here with another Alien Cyborg sponsor shout out. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys is Houston's newest store dedicated to gamers and all the things that they love. They got t-shirts, figures, collectibles, posters, Japanese snacks, what? Plush toys, accessories, iWacko erasers, Gundam models, books, wall scrolls, and original artwork too. In addition, they carry an extensive line of vinyl toys, art toys, and designer toys. Things like the 2012 Dunny series by Kid Robot. They also have Unicornos from Tokidoki in stock, and each box is only $5 if you buy two or more. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys is located at 5169 Cypress Creek Parkway, FM 1960 West, Houston, Texas 77069, and their phone number is 281-440-1405. Once again, their phone number is 281-440-1405. Their store hours are Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday 12 to 6. Oh, and they're closed Mondays. You can visit their website at www.insomniavgc.com or go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/insomniavgc. Like their page and tell them the boys over at aliencyborgs.com sent ya. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys. No sleep, all play.
You're listening to the Geek Speak Geek Podcast with Movie Matt Dinan, Peter the Swordsman Tullio, and Jet Black Bolaño.
The design is one of the new look of the character is better, but everything else about the movie is so bad. It's...
Welcome back to Alien Cyborgs Geek Speak Geek Podcast. This is Jet Black Bolaño, and I'm here with movie Matt Dinan.
Mastodon
Matt Dinan. And we were just finishing up talking about the look and feel of cotton, or Ghost Rider.
The fabric of our lives.
I don't know much.
Whoa.
So, yeah, you're right. The look of the second Daredevil, I'm sorry, the second Ghost Rider,
was really the only thing that worked for me. Like, he's crustier now, the flames look better, the skull look better, the blackened,
charred
look was much better, but everything else was just inept. I mean, it was barely a real film. If it didn't have major motion picture stars in it, it could have easily been a Sci-Fi Channel production.
Ouch.
Like, did you see it? Like, the filmmaking of it, the story, it's choppy, it's chunky, it's semi-inept at every turn. It's horrible. I mean, it's way worse than the first one.
I don't know, they made a really big stink about the directors being really hands-on and doing, like, all the stunts with the cameras.
People wanted to make a big deal because they hold the camera on slides and shit, because they put it on the back of motorcycles. That does not make a good story.
Well, makes a good story about the directors.
Yeah.
I'm
not saying they didn't shoot something well, but they certainly didn't direct it very well.
Daredevil is one of my favorite Marvel characters. Graphically, story-wise, it seems like Spawn pulled from it a bit. But, I really wish that these people got it right.
Who do you want to make a Daredevil movie?
To star as a Daredevil?
Well, or direct.
Wow.
Who could jump on and save it in the next 2 months? Who can step up right now and say, I will helm this beast of the Daredevil reboot?
Brett Ratner.
That's who they'll get. And it'll on ice.
So I just go there.
And they'll immediately, kill Foggy.
And he'll sleep with whoever the female lead is and then talk shit about her later on. I don't know. I really don't know. Quentin Tarantino?
Okay.
You know, someone who understands grit, someone who can do violence, someone who can do dialogue, someone who has a grasp of the mob type of mentality. He did that well in Reservoir Dogs. You know, he has a grasp on fantasy. I mean, let's face it, Kill Bill is a fantasy flick. You know, Chop Saki or whatever, it's fantasy based. Maybe, who knows, and who does a Serpico style better than Quentin Tarantino anyway? So, and that's if they wanted to go in that route. And this is me, you know me, guys. This is Jet here. I'm vanilla Jet. I love remakes. I love anything Marvel. I love anything superhero. I didn't mind Daredevil, other than Ben Affleck looking too doughy in the mask. I think he's great. Ben Affleck, I think you're a fine director. I think you're a fine actor.
Just stay away from the Justice League.
You're in way better shape than I am. But I don't think the costume designers did you right.
Oh, no, it's horrible.
I think the rest of it was fine.
Okay, well, despite what you may think, I'm not going to launch into a tirade about how bad Daredevil sucks.
All right.
I actually think it's okay.
Wow. You heard it here first.
I think it gets harshly criticized. It's not Spider-Man or Batman. I mean, it's not... Or Batman Begins. I mean, it's not an epic launching of a character. Daredevil's a little... If I can get away with saying this without people going hardcore and nutty crazy foo-foo on me, Daredevil's a little bit B-list anyway.
Oh, my God!
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need a giant epic story for Daredevil.
What? Oh my God! He's awesome!
Oh, I'm not saying he's not awesome. I like Daredevil quite a bit. I'm just saying he's not a Spider-Man, you know?
They fucked up that whole Elektra hand stick thing, though. I mean, they could have done...
Oh, that
would have been...
That movie was horrible. Daredevil itself, I thought, was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible, I thought. My biggest problem, or one of my biggest problems with it, is the costume design, like you just said. That suit, that red leather, in absolutely no way makes it look like he can move his body. You cannot do gymnastics in that outfit.
Like the CG Daredevil does.
Yeah, it just... I don't know what costume to give him exactly. Obviously, I'm not a costume designer, but something that looks like you could move in it. That does not look like you can beat the shit out of somebody in that costume.
I don't mind everything from the neck down. I really don't. I know what you're saying. Logistically, he shouldn't be able... It's a motorcycle jacket, for fuck's sake.
It was just so thick and leathery, and he's supposed to jump around. Like, Affleck was kind of too big for the part, I thought. I don't know, he didn't look like... I couldn't believe him jumping off of buildings. But it was okay. I thought he was all right. He was the voiceover kind of sucked.
Yeah,
he felt like he was reading, but he didn't. I don't think suck as the role. I thought Jennifer Garner was great. I thought as small of a part as it was, that Michael Clark Duncan was okay as the Kingpin.
Yeah, I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that. People made a stink
about
him.
And Colin Farrell was just... He was okay as Bullseye. They could have done a lot more with Bullseye than that.
Yeah, he played it too over the top.
Yeah, he went too flamboyant. Sure,
you know.
And not evil enough.
So,
it was too cartoony evil.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good fights. Yeah. There was a lot of good action.
It was a little too cartoony evil. Like, all he needed to do... I mean, instead of twirl the mustache, he touched his fucking...
Yeah, he would, like, kiss... Yeah, exactly.
He would touch his fucking scar Bullseye thing.
But there was a decent amount of action.
No need.
They kept fairly close to the comic.
So, hopefully...
Favreau was really good.
He was really good.
Like, I thought he was really hilarious.
Favreau! Have Favreau fucking direct it, for fuck's sake.
Well, I don't know. On one hand, I want to agree because of how good Iron Man was, but But I want to disagree because of how incredibly lame Cowboys and Aliens was.
I recently stumbled
upon Cowboys and Aliens, and I know I'm the last one to the party, but goddammit, why didn't somebody warn me how fucking boring that shit is?
Yeah, I worked at it. I worked on the project. QA'd the project. When I was working over at Deluxe over in Burbank. And my job is to look at movies. I don't get to watch them because when you're doing QA, you're looking for any dead pixels. You're looking for, any anomalies. You're looking for any... So I'm going, one frame a second. And I'm clicking through and I'm clicking through. And finally, we got to watch the movie near the very end. And... Man.
And you were like, this was more exciting frame by frame.
Oh, my God. At least I got to see Olivia Wilde's body double, naked from the back. That was, the best. Aang is in it from The Last Airbender, which was kind of...
Oh, no, it's... If I was making a list, maybe I'll do this sometime, of, the... Call it, top five most wasted casts. Like, the greatest assemblages of cast of actors, and then the movie sucks.
That was wasted.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, fucking Walter Goggins from Justified is really good in it as, the second-in-command bad guy. And Olivia Wilde's cool. Fucking Harrison Ford. But he's bad in this,
And Sam Rockwell.
And Sam Rockwell.
Who's amazing.
And Paul Dano. And...
yeah, you're right. It was...
Wild Bill... God damn it, Carradine. Keith Carradine, tons of good people are in that movie. And man, it was dull.
We had made a point before about talking about, I think it was Battlefield LA and how all these kind of CG mech monster type of baddies all look the same.
Oh, the aliens totally look like they just redesigned the face of the prawns from District 9.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's my thing. You know what I have a problem with about alien-type movies is they make these aliens so kind of far-fetched or so... I can't imagine these type of creatures
creating... Getting the technology.
Creating this technology and being having these bodies that are so alien...
Agreed.
I just don't see that. Maybe if they flew on these bug type of, you know, giant, I don't know, creatures.
No,
they were like parasite, like maybe a like Cloverfield, like they all jumped off of this big giant monster.
Are some of these things working with their hands?
Right.
Like they've got these long claw fingernails, you can buy it a little bit with the Predator because he's so humanoid.
Humanoid. Yes.
You know. But yeah, there's so many aliens they do nowadays, and you're like, what? How the fuck did that invent that?
Yeah, like, how did that prawn from District 9 invent, said, you know, like, give him a spear, sure. A fucking sling,
well,
sure.
Well, it's that, they want to try and walk the line between aliens, if you will, because everything since Aliens has ripped off aliens in some way.
Agreed.
Like, nobody's, actually, I can't say nobody, but... 75% of, I used to bitch about this all the time in the 90s. Everything that comes out from Starship Troopers to Species, they all just go back to Geiger. You know, like,
yes.
Nobody wants to do anything original.
Sure.
Like, every now and then you'll find some kind of cool original alien, but it's really rare.
It's few and far between. Even, like, Species, that was Geiger.
That's exactly Geiger. That's not even of. That's
exactly
We're going to take a different painting and riff on it, yeah.
I guess that is kind of the hard part of being the, you know, concept designers, to create something that... the fans will like, but the higher ups will go, yes, that looks like aliens, or yes, that looks like, you know, whatever the case may be, fill in what's hot at the in that decade, you know, because the look always is pervasive throughout the decade.
Well, that's one of the few things I liked about, there's an old movie from, I think it's 88 or so, called 89, maybe, Deep Star 6. You ever saw that?
No.
It's got a mediocre cast, chock full of, like, TV actors and stuff. Like, the guy from My Two Dads is in it, and the nerdy guy from Riptide. I'm dating myself here on all the 80s TV references.
That's okay.
But I can't think who else is in it now, but it's chock full of, like, non-A-list actors. And it was one of those movies like Leviathan, if you remember that movie.
That was great.
There's a handful of movies that came out, just like how you've got, in about the 5 years after Pulp Fiction, you've got things like Lock, Stock, and Snatch, and 2 Days in the Valley, and Keys to Tulsa, and Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead, and all these movies that are like, please let me jerk off Pulp Fiction some more, and it's just everybody's wanting to do Pulp Fiction.
Or
you know?
as what you called it, what do you call that? Post-Tarantino
trash or something?
Yeah.
But yeah, so in the same kind of way, after Aliens, from Predator, which of course came out a year later as a direct result of the Aliens being a hit, suddenly there's all these other ones that came out, too, like Leviathan, like Deep Star 6. But Deep Star 6 has a massive, like, crab monster thing that... It gets big points to me solely for cool creature design. The creature doesn't do much, but it's awesome when you finally see it. And it's got Miguel Ferrer from RoboCop.
Awesome.
And he dies wonderfully. So run out and see Deep Star 6. It's a fun little popcorn monster movie with a cool monster and a couple of awesome bloody deaths.
Well, we'll check that out. I also had posted up on, well, let me preface this. Everything we're getting, most of the things that we're talking about.
Not so much Deep Star 6.
Not so much Deep Star 6.
This is pertinent news. This is big time stuff nowadays, Deep Star 6.
You know,
this is...
We're always on the cutting edge of what's new. Most of the stuff that we're talking about is all pulled directly from the Alien Cyborgs Facebook page. So if you want more, go to the Alien Cyborgs Facebook page. You can look us up on Facebook. /AlienCyborgs, which is something new because it used to be AlienCyborgs.com.
Woo.
1,375,682. Now it's just www.facebook.com/AlienCyborgs. So check us out. Anyway.
That's classy.
I know. We're a class act here as I scratch my balls. One of the things that we also posted up, a lot of this stuff comes from places that you told me about, Screen Rant. Came from Cinema Blender or something along those lines. One of the things that I posted, this was from The Hollywood Reporter, was that Kristen Stewart got dropped from Snow White, the sequel plans.
I heard about that as well, yeah. So now they're talking about doing just a Huntsman spinoff.
Yeah, just a Huntsman spinoff.
Whap, whap, whap.
Well, that's kind of, in a way, that's almost kind of smart.
How? In what way?
Well, because you're getting to make a Thor movie without making a Thor movie. You're a different studio who's getting to capitalize on him being Thor, looking like Thor, dressing like Thor, you know?
Sure,
it's
sure.
It's not like him doing Cabin in the Woods. I mean, that's all old anyway, which is another Red Dawn thing. Whatever. Red Dawn also sitting on a shelf for 3 years or so now.
Well, like, we'll get to Red
Dawn.
We'll
get to that.
Later, yeah.
Like, Chris Hemsworth did a whole lot of stuff before he was famous, and now it's just all coming out. Jessica Chastain was the same
Kristen
way.
But Kristen Stewart, I mean, her name, like, is cooling off. You know, she is still a huge draw.
Is it cooling off? I don't know. That last Twilight movie's coming out soon.
Right. So, that tweener kind of female who would go see a movie with Chris Hemsworth in it because, you know, he's a heartthrob, and these are Kristen Stewart's, you know, fan
base.
Well,
but they might not be into her anymore because she's the bitch who cheated on their lovable Edward. She broke his heart, man. Don't you know it?
Again.
She broke his heart.
Again, I've been saying
they're supposed to be together forever.
Well, is she immortal yet? No. I have yet, and I promise I will, watch
you're gonna
all
do the Twilight,
the Twilight
thing
so I can hate them.
I can say, in another bit of just personal anecdotal evidence, my own niece is off the wagon now.
Oh, really?
I shouldn't say off the wagon, I guess. Off the bandwagon, yeah.
Sure.
Before the Hunger cool. Games is the thing now. So for the past couple of months, before it was like Christmases and birthdays past, I've had to find some kind of Jacob from Twilight thing.
Sure.
Not any longer. Now it's Hunger Games.
Mm.
Twilight is passé.
Give her the Battle Royale DVD then.
That's how it is. It's a 13-year-old.
Here, watch the real deal.
Not doing... well, and I totally would. That's the thing, too. It's like, I'm always trying
your
to
remake
get...
remake Shmishmake fucking principles, you know?
I'm always trying to, like, here, you know, my niece and nephew, like, there's good shit that you don't know about. There's so much good shit that you don't know about because you're just too young.
Sure.
I don't care if it's rated R. Watch it. You know, your mom can get mad at me later.
Yeah, right. But just be educated, damn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the cool stuff.
I like, heard...
you just don't know you're growing up in a pitiful time.
You know? Says old curmudgeon Uncle Matt. I read this, that she was sleeping with a director.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah,
sure.
That's why she broke his vampire heart.
Oh, to go with this guy.
I didn't know the story. Oh, yeah.
On.
Well, the short version, she was banging the Huntsman guy, the guy who directed Snow White and the Huntsman. She and he had a bit of an affair. He has a wife and a kid and was like, whoa, whatever.
Scandal.
And somebody from People magazine, I want to say. I forget. I'm fucking up the thing. No, caught pictures. Like a tabloid photographer from some magazine took pictures of them, canoodling, if you will, and published them. And there
like
we
a,
go. You're busted. Burn.
A canoe and a noodle?
That's when you make pasta on the lake.
Canoodling. I like that. But my canoodle just got hard.
In the day, you could get away with that. Like, if you were, you know, this was the early 60s, you wanted to go have an affair with somebody on set, you just did. You know, nowadays, you can't get away with it. They'll find a way to get a picture of you, and then they'll publish it immediately without you knowing about it, and you'll have to take to Twitter and try to apologize to your fans and to your boyfriend who's... probably going, wait, what? What happened? I had to learn about this from,
through Twitter?
from peoplemagazine.com?
But I think you're right. I think they're probably going to capitalize. They are going to capitalize on his success.
Because like, she could very well be on the downfall as far as her target audience goes. You know?
Well, I guess everyone needs a target audience. We have two listeners, so fuck it. Okay, we are going to be back after these messages. We're going to be moving on to what our readers thought of Batman Rises. We'll get to that right after these messages.
Speak out with your geek out. Geek out.
Hey guys, Jet here. Peter and I just got back from Comics vs. Toys. It's the biggest little comic shop in town. Comics vs. Toys is located in Eagle Rock at 1613 Colorado Boulevard. They got the latest in titles, trades, arts, and posters. They got all the new stuff and some of the old stuff that goes way back to the 60s. Comics vs. Toys will buy, sell, and trade comic books
and they also offer 20% off of the cover price on back issues every day. They have all your favorite toys from Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and all other manner of geeky goodness. You want it, they got it. Or they can get it. Matt and Tracy will also have your comics for you stored in bags and boards and waiting for you and ready when you get there. So stop in and say hi to the guys over at Comics vs. Toys at 1613 Colorado Boulevard in Eagle Rock. Their store hours are Sunday through Monday, 12 to 7, Tuesday from 12 to 5, and Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 8. Make Comics vs. Toys your one-stop shop for comics and collectibles. You know them. They're the comic shop with a cow dressed up as Spider-Man on their roof.
Check, check, check. That's
check,
me.
Check, check. I'm going to check just like this. Checkity, check, check, check.
Check one, two. I'm this far away from the mic, and I'm talking. Let's see.
I got the mic about a dick's length from my head, and I'm talking.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's your new old friend, Jet Black from AlienCyborgs.com, and I'm here to tell you all about our friends from across the pond over in the United Kingdom. Nate's Game Informer has a page that's about video games, gaming news, funny pics, and a whole lot more. Nate's Game Informer is all about video games. They got news, photos, jokes, fan fiction, discussions, and a whole lot more. They got anything that'll get you through the day and make you laugh. So, share their page with your friends. Oh, one thing I gotta tell you though, there is absolutely no negativity on this page, because Nate is not afraid to drop the old ban hammer on your ass and ban you from his site. This page is for gamers who like to laugh and talk about games, so look him up over at facebook.com/ Nate's Game Informer. Some people may find the pictures offensive, so you've been warned. Also, keep an eye out for their YouTube channel, Nate's Gaming Corner. Once again, that's Nate's Gaming Corner over at YouTube. So do us a favor, go to their page, like their page, and tell them the guys over at AlienCyborgs.com sent ya. Peace.
Hey, this is Seychelle Gabriel from The Last Airbender, and I listen to the Geek Speak Geek podcast on AlienCyborgs.com.
You're listening to the Geek Speak Geek podcast with Movie Matt Diamond, Peter the Swordsman Tullio, and Jet Black Bolaño.
Welcome back to AlienCyborgs.com. This is Jet Black, and I'm here with Macedon Matt Dynan. And we're wondering about our relevancy in the world, in the cyber world. We were talking a moment ago about Matt and Kat have back issues, and you are wondering who is our demographic. Who is listening to this other than myself? Because I know once we record it, you don't go back and, you know, your job is done. You're moving forward.
No, I usually listen to them.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's one person listening to our stuff.
Now, once I see their post, I usually go through and listen just to see if I sound like an asshole.
Yeah, well,
I'm always trying. Like, I try not to censor myself or do any kind of whatever. But then I always do want to go back and check it. I'm like, do I sound too much like a dick?
Because you know what? Here,
I've had episodes of back issues before where I'm like, I kind of sound like a dick this episode.
Let me put your mind at ease.
I'm not super experienced on the whole podcasting thing, despite how much I've been doing the past few months. And so I don't really have my, like, radio persona down and my...
Well, fuck a radio persona, because your radio persona...
Self-censorship and such, you know?
Fuck that shit. I love to call you Movie Matt Dynan, because you're probably one of the most versed people that I know when it comes to cinema and, you know, movies and flicks and trash TV and all that stuff, you know? I don't know how you manage to cram all that shit and still have a normal life, you know, but you do. That's who you are.
Not so much.
You're a brand. You are you. You know, so if you're a dick, that's great, because that offsets the fact that I'm a fucking fanboy. There's very little I hate. You know, I'm very grateful to have all this, you know, all the stuff that we have today.
I'll be the fanboy Howard Stern, maybe. That'll be my thing.
For sure.
Well, a couple episodes back, I was kind of harsh on Dark Horse in the 90s on back issue.
I heard that.
And apparently we had somebody on Twitter who listened and then got really upset about the fact that I said the Dark Horse in the late 80s was something to the effect of, like, it was populated with all the third string artists and writers.
Yeah, you know, but you also did say that, didn't they also have all the good... In all the good properties that were...
Oh, they had
there?
All the movie properties. Yeah, and they didn't only have... I mean, they had, like, Paul... Is it Chadwick, I think, who did Concrete was great. Frank Miller was doing Sin City there at the time. It wasn't all third stringers. But compared to Marvel or DC, it was all the guys who weren't getting work from Marvel or DC. But the, you know, the one of the few times on back issues that we've had people really like make a stink about something was because I was ripping on Dark Horse too hard, I guess. And so he took to the Twitterverse and was posting the hell out. I'm like, I guess that's good. Maybe if I'm insulting people, then maybe
fuck it.
At least somebody's paying attention.
Someone's talking about you. Here's the deal, and again, for all of you people who have listened to us, or for those who haven't, I hate on hate, which is why I'm going to go watch all the fucking Twilight movies. I'm not really expecting much, but who knows? I could get surprised. The reality is this. Most fanboys, most geeks, nerds not so much, because nerds will fucking make something.
Oh, don't start defining, or when the swordsman comes back, it'll be a fiasco.
Yeah, he's not fucking here, and he can defend himself when... You know, when he wants. But the reality is this. A lot of fanboys rip shit up. They do. No one is ever satisfied. Or they're like, it was all right. Eh. You know, they hate it even before it comes out. They hate the idea. You know, and I'm more like, well, let's fucking watch it and then hate it. Or, sure. You know. But the reality is, when you have people like Perez Hilton making a living off of making fun and tearing down other people. I'm not saying that you tear down and make fun of, but you have a fucking opinion.
Well, and that's the thing too. I know, I might have even said it before in a previous Alien Cyborgs. I don't remember, but it all, especially when it comes to comic book movies, which I've been going on about so much lately, as this is kind of the summer to do it. I want everything to be good. You know, that's the thing. Like, I don't go into it wishing ill of this stuff. Like, I wish Green Lantern was great. I wish Ghost Rider 2 was really cool. But it wasn't. And the fact that it wasn't makes it more of a disappointment to me, because now I'm not going to get a good one anytime soon.
My,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, making a bad Ghost Rider movie is twice as insulting to me as any other bad movie, because it's taking Ghost Rider away from me.
What is your standard? Where's your bar set at? I mean, are you saying, like, it was bad versus 12 Angry Men, or it was horrible versus Citizen Kane, or, you know, it's like, where is your barometer set to? Like, where's your magnetic north when you have, you know, you've never had the genre of superhero and fantastical movies has only really been 20, 25 years. I mean, it sounds like a long time, but, you know, I'd say the first 10, 15 years of it was getting kinks out, you know? They only could do so. You look at Labyrinth and you're like, that's a fucking great movie. You know, and it was done with puppets. You know, so like, where's the barometer? It's like, is Ghost Rider 2 bad because why? You know?
Well, watch it and you'll see. Ghost Rider 2 is a bad movie all across, because there's a really dull story that it's, again, about a prophecy. Nothing's explained. It's so, again, I don't want to bitch about it again, but it's just, it's inept at every turn. It's poor storytelling. It's poor acting. It's just poor.
My.
But it doesn't have to be, is my point. Well, like, when you've got, I mean, from the get-go, from the beginning, that's the problem right there, is the bar was set too high.
I don't think so.
When Superman came out, Superman the Motion Picture came out in 78, that set the bar pretty high.
Fuck, for some.
Most people have been trying to live up to it ever since.
Here's one thing.
And failing.
I hate Superman. I don't love everything. I fucking hate Superman. I hate what he stands for. Not truth, justice, in the American way, but the fact that he's such a paladin. You know, it's like, I've never been one for the ultra goody-goody. I get it, standards and blah. But, you know, fuck, what a boring yawn. Anyway, what construes a bad comic book movie to me is one thing and one thing only.
What's that?
Why would you deviate from canon? You know, a character makes it 30, 50, 60 years because it's been tried and true. They've done so much shit with Batman. And then they went another way. Then they went another way with Batman. And finally, they kind of dialed it in and was like, okay, the first 20 years of Batman, we finally kind of dialed and honed it in. You know, was it you that was telling me, like, when Batman first came around, it was like cupcake wars and fucking stupidity?
That's my rant from one of the first times I did one of these podcasts. Right. You remember my classic, there is no one true Batman.
Understood, rant. But you know. I'm saying, when there's a canon, when there's kind of like, this is what X character is,
yeah.
And then you take X character out of
Well, the problem is, though, the problem with the fallacy of your argument there is, well, Sherlock Holmes, for example. We can go back to Sherlock Holmes.
Beautiful
Sherlock
example.
Holmes has a proper canon of, yes. I think it's 56 stories, I believe.
Okay.
Four novels and 52 stories.
I know where
stories.
You're going with this, and I agree.
And they're all by one writer.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep.
The problem with Batman is that he, what is Batman canon, or Bat canon, if you will, has been so different from decade to decade, from year to year, from a writer to writer and artist to artist. You know, there's so many different things that Batman has been.
He's the world's greatest detective. That's what he's touted as. Why doesn't he detect?
Well, that's a good point. Thinking of it like this, again, if Ghost Rider, if you took the Flaming Skull guy off the motorcycle and you made him a pumpkin, if you took the skull off and you made it a pumpkin head, it was a completely different character, and they called it, like, The New Adventures of the Headless Horseman.
That would be awesome!
Patent pending. I'm going to start writing that shit right now. That could be kind of cool, actually.
I have an idea, and I'll talk to you about it later.
Anyway, so if it was The New Adventures of the Headless Horseman, instead of Ghost Rider, nothing to do with comic books, Ghost Rider 2 would still be a bad movie. That's my point. It makes it worse that it's Ghost Rider, and they're kind of... Now, it's far from canon, because it has nothing to do with any of the comics, but being far from canon doesn't necessarily make it bad, is my point. Tim Burton likes to go on about how he was trying to do the Killing Joke and things like that, but he didn't really. He didn't really do that. I'm saying, he always talks about, this is the Batman I want to do, the dark, hard, but he wasn't really doing that anyway. He was doing his Batman.
Yes.
And it's good. I mean, I don't know if there's always people listening who hate on Batman 89, you know, but it's far from canon, especially with the whole the Joker killed Batman's parents thing, and that is bullshit. I'm not going to argue with that point, but overall, it's a pretty solid flick, but it's pretty far from canon, you know, and you can be and not suck.
I guess. I don't know.
Better if you stick close. I would much rather you stick close. Again, like a Spider-Man, the first one, is way better to me than
The Amazing.
The Amazing, yeah, or something that goes far away from the story, you know.
I wish I could meld those two movies together and get the more wisecracking Spider-Man and put some of that into Tobey Maguire. Anyway.
Why hasn't somebody done a fan cut yet? Cut together their own movie between the four other Spider-Man movies?
Ooh!
Like, somebody could totally get on Final Cut Pro and make, like, a Sinister Six movie.
Somebody like...
with Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane... And you've got Doc Ock, you've got the Hobgoblin, you've got pseudo...
Don't do this, because you know Green what?
Goblin,
I'm going to sit there going, at my Mac, looking at Final Cut Pro, going, I have all those movies. Of course, except for The Amazing Spider-Man, because that's not out yet.
I'll be running when it does.
Damn. This session went by again. This section went by. It's time for a break. We'll be right back with Alien Cyborg Geek Speak Geek Podcast. In the meantime, go check us out on Facebook. I don't hear you clicking.
Geek Speak Geek Podcast. Podcasting from Los Angeles, California. Where else? The Lakers.
AlienCyborgs.com.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Jed over at Alien Cyborgs, and I'm hanging out here with the Baroness Ursula.
Hello.
Hello, Baroness. What are you doing?
Reading the latest issue of Game Informer.
Awesome. Anything good?
Not really.
Well, that's okay. That's not what we're here to talk about anyway. What we're here to talk about is AlienCyborgs.com and how we want you to go over to Facebook, look up AlienCyborgs.com in the search bar, and when you find us, hit the like button. That way, you get all the updates on our page. You'll see some fun geeky stuff that we post and some good stuff that other people post as well. And you'll also be able to find out when the latest blogs and podcasts are available over at AlienCyborgs.com. Oh, and don't forget to follow us on the Twitter. Say goodbye to the Sock Baroness.
Goodbye, Sock.
Later.
Do 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 do. Cornbread. Next week on Geek Speak Geek, the answer to the age-old question, what does a vagina feel like?
Hey guys, what it is? Jet Black here with another Alien Cyborg sponsor shout-out. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys is Houston's newest store dedicated to gamers and all the things that they love. They got t-shirts, figures, collectibles, posters, Japanese snacks, what? Plush toys, accessories, iWacko erasers, Gundam models, books, wall scrolls, and original artwork too. In addition, they carry an extensive line of vinyl toys, art toys, and designer toys,
things like the 2012 Dunny series by Kid Robot. They also have Unicornos from Tokidoki in stock, and each box is only $5 if you buy two or more. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys is located at 5169 Cypress Creek Parkway, FM 1960 West, Houston, Texas 77069, and their phone number is 281-440-1405. Once again, their phone number is 281-440-1405. Their store hours are Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday 12 to 6. Oh, and they're closed Mondays. You can visit their website at www.insomniavgc.com or go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/insomniavgc. Like their page and tell them the boys over at aliencyborgs.com sent ya. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys. No sleep, all play.
What up? This is Seychelle Gabriel from Avatar The Legend of Korra, and I listen to the Geek Speak Geek podcast on aliencyborgs.com.
Hey, Jet Black here, back with... Which one are you this time?
The Minister.
Oh. Minister of Magic, Matt Dynan. And we're going to be talking about things that we pulled off of the Alien Cyborgs Facebook page. That's www.facebook.com/AlienCyborgs. Check us out. The other day I posted up a picture of a Star Destroyer, a Star Wars Star Destroyer, being met head-on by, I don't know which Enterprise it is, but it's one of the newer Enterprises.
I know newer.
Well, I know they all have designations.
You don't know the designation of the Enterprise?
Not this one.
Well, pull the picture up. I mean, is it really an Enterprise? Maybe it's not. Is it NCC 1701 ABCDE?
Good call. That's not it. ABCDE.
Yeah, I mean, the original series is flat, NC 1701. The movies begin with A. B was never in a movie, I don't think. Maybe the flashback in part... Shit, I forget. Then they get C in part 4.
Hello,
they blow
Olivia
it up in,
Munn. I love Olivia Munn.
By the time you get to...
No, you don't see it, but it's one that detaches. I guess
that looks like... That's next gen. Look at how flat it is.
Okay. That's a sleek looking ship.
That's probably
ship,
the
though.
E. That's probably the E from the later next gen movies.
That's a good looking ship.
Or is that even the F? I forget now.
I don't even know. I've seen a chart that had all the... If anybody is listening, would you please... And more than likely, Stefan, I know you're a huge Trekkie. Stefan, he's always piping in on anytime we do anything.
You mean Trekker?
Oh, that's right. That's what they're called now. He's a Trek. He calls himself a Trekkie, though. Oh. Maybe he's not.
I'm down with the Trekkie thing, too. I think it's bullshit to have to change. Like, who cares if it's fucking derogatory? Suck it.
Really?
Trekkie's a Trekkie.
I don't know why.
I don't know why people think it's derogatory.
Why? How?
That's
someone,
what I'm saying.
Somebody let us know, please. In fact, I'm going to post that up on Facebook right after the show. So it's a picture of a Star Destroyer and the Enterprise, and it has Alien Cyborg's question of the day: who wins this fight and why? And we had quite a few. We had 20 comments, which is 18 more than we're used to having. You sound exasperated. What?
It's an apples and oranges kind of thing here. You know, we're talking about different fruit in the same fruit bowl.
But they're both fruit.
Sure, they're both fruit, but again, you can't really, you know, it's science fantasy, if you want to call it. What do you want to call Star Wars? A fantasy?
It's
space opera versus science fiction.
Yeah.
You know, Star Trek, to a degree at least, tries to be properly science fiction, whereas Star Wars is full tilt silly fantasy.
Silly.
I know, everybody's going to get pissed off, whatever. Spaceships don't fucking float and swoop and pan and dodge like World War II.
They don't go...
Yeah, there's no fire in space. Anyway, I'm not going to bitch about it. The point is, everything in Star Wars is also cartoonishly overdone. Almost like crumb drying a penis, you know? Everything's cartoonishly large.
Large and,
you know,
big.
Well, I mean, the Death Star is the size of a small moon, you know? Like, putting the Enterprise, which has got, like, a complement, even the E or something, which should have a complement of, like, 1,300 or something like that, against the Star Destroyer, has got to have tens of thousands of people on that. Hundreds, if not thousands, of cannons, you know, and ships that launch out from it, you know. It's not even a fair fight. It's a totally different kind of thing, you know.
All right. So we've got some. I'm going to read some of our feedback from our viewers. William Cho. Hey, what's up, William? William Cho and I went to college together over at Art Institute, and I think he's a paid artist now and not just spending his time on a microphone talking bullshit like I am. What's up, Will? Anyway, Will says the Enterprise loses. It doesn't have the capability to deploy TIE fighters.
That's what I just said.
Don't yell at me.
Hey, Cho, what do you know?
Hey, Cho. Stefan says that the Enterprise would win. He's got three reasons. One, they can beam on and off a ship where stormtroopers need to land by a landing craft. Two, the ship has both phasers and photon torpedoes. Star Destroyers only have blasters because I've never seen them launch a missile. Although, no.
Okay, but yeah, but that's still... What do they have? Three phaser banks on the Enterprise?
I think three.
Two photon torpedo banks, maybe? As opposed to the literally dozens, if not hundreds, on a Star Destroyer.
Of ion cannons?
It just doesn't... There's just no... You know.
And his third reasoning is... And they can separate the saucer section so they can go into hardcore battle mode. Yeah, I'm a Trekkie, is what he says.
Ditto, in a way. I mean, if I was... I've gotten yelled at many times in the past, but if I was choosing, I prefer Trek. I would consider myself a Trekkie over a Star Wars fan. So I would want the Enterprise to win, but, you know, just going by what the published schematics of the ships are, no comparison. You know. Right. Anything in Star Wars is cartoonishly overdone compared to anything in Star Trek.
If I call you a Trekker, would you be pissed off? Or Trekkie, rather?
Well, no, because, again, what's the term? Why is that derogatory?
I don't know. You tell me, Trekkie. Christina Baseman. Hi, Christina. She says, ha-ha, no-brainer. Unless you got a bunch of Sith Lords on the Destroyer to do some mind fucking. She doesn't really say fucking. She bleeps it out a bit.
Oh, tell it to is dirty. Come on, Christina.
Come on, Christina. Bring
it. Give us the good stuff.
Yeah, bring it if you're going to bring it. If they're going to do some mind fucking with those on the Enterprise, well, true superior scientific technology as opposed to that of an outdated fantasy. Ow! I'm just saying, not to mention the Enterprise has superior shielding. I think after the battle with the Borg on SD is small cakes, Destroyer.
She's kind of got a point there, though, which I hadn't really thought about.
What, they go against the Borg?
No. Star Destroyers don't have shields. Nothing in Star Wars has shields in that way.
They didn't have shields.
Or did they?
Of course
they
have.
You're right, fuck. Never mind, I'm an idiot. Because in Jedi, they have to blow up. Yeah, never mind.
The
tractor. They have to blow up the
shield. And they try to put the shields up when the Millennium Falcon goes towards that one Star Destroyer.
I'm an idiot. They got shields, yeah.
But, like I responded to Christina, she's getting all scientific and shit. Good for you, girl. We totally appreciate your comment. Keep coming back. Charles Way. Charles Way is the man when it comes to things. He's one of my favorite people in the interwebs as well in real life. He and I used to work together at one of the couple of video games places that I worked at. Charles Way, he's the boss. Check it out. He says, yeah, the Enterprise shields are far more advanced, and it has a far more devastating weapons array. Maneuverability does not even come into it because of all the Enterprise weapons are targeting by computers. The one advantage of a Star Destroyer would be to get even one single Sith Lord to the Enterprise. One Master of the Force could take out the entire ship by himself. Ha.
Well, now, is this the Enterprise with Kirk or Picard?
and you know what? Someone had actually said that.
Did they have Data or Spock to back them up? Because
somebody,
there's not much Data or Spock can't figure out.
Someone actually brings that up, and I'm sorry, I don't have your name, and I don't have it written down. But somebody says it all depends on A, what the writers say, and who's captaining the ship.
Naturally,
that
as well.
Has a lot to do with it.
I was thinking about it now. Somebody made a good point about the teleporters. You know, when it comes down to it, Kirk would pull something like this. You could always get yourself a handful of nice photon torpedoes, give him a 10-second timer, and teleport him into the middle of the ship.
That's fucking cheating, man.
You know,
and
blow that shit up from the inside.
Christian Voltron, good name.
Really?
Yes.
Is he made up of five smaller Christians?
Yes.
Five small Christians make Voltron Christian.
Yes. You know what? No, I'm not going to. Yes, five smaller Christians makes one Voltron, Christian Voltron. He says the Enterprise, and exactly for what you just said, Bonus points for you, Christian. He says they beam a torpedo onto key parts of destroyer using the Picard maneuver. Is that a thing? Is that
Picard maneuver?
That's what he calls it, the Picard maneuver. And you know what? You're right. I think it's something that, Kirk would do. But that's fucking cheating. I think that's cheating. Chris Lai. Lai. L-A-I? Lai. Chris Lai. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, bro. Or girl. I don't know. The Enterprise would quickly target the shield generators of the Star Destroyer, then disable the engines, and then open a hailing frequency to offer the Empire peace terms, being the diplomats that they are. Plus, the Enterprise is from the future, and Star Destroyers are from the past.
That is a good point. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Fuck that shit. Good one. Touché. And lastly, John Richmond says, maneuverability. The Enterprise could fly rings around an Imperial Star Destroyer. I'm not talking about those local bulk cruisers, mind you. I'm talking the big Carillion ships now. Nice reference. Nice reference. Bonus points for you. So that pretty much wraps it up. I think the Enterprise just tears the fucking Star Destroyer in half.
But it's so much... Again, I would... that's much more my favorite. But it's so much smaller. Like, it would sit there shooting and shooting and shooting. Like, just pull up how big a Star Destroyer is supposed to be, you know?
Oh, my God. What if it's the Executor? Which is Darth Vader's personal Star Destroyer, which...
Just the size kind of doesn't make sense.
Yeah, smaller Star Destroyers dock on that fucking thing. So, that's on Alien Cyborg's Facebook page.
Maybe if... Now, did Khan take over a Star Destroyer? Is that what happened, maybe?
Khan. Khan.
Whoa. Now we're dating ourselves.
Sorry. Well, did Khan what? Jump on a Star Destroyer?
I just watched, you know, Wrath of Khan the other night, of course, at the Bev. And
with Cumberbatch?
No.
And what did you...
The real Wrath of Khan. Oh,
okay, alright. And?
I forget, did... I haven't been paying attention to that lately. Did they say, is he playing Khan? I forget now.
No.
Okay, that's right. They were saying he's not playing Khan. That's right. Because it might not be Khan.
Right.
Hopefully it's not Khan. Come on. You know?
Right. It's just like with Antonio Banderas, at least.
Oh, no, I just mean... It's the same way with Man of Steel. Don't fucking do Zod again. Come on. There's tons of Superman villains you can do. Fuck Zod. Zod's already been done.
Right. And why do
Khan's already been Superman? Done. Same way, you know?
Real quick, Superman trailer. Just saw it again for the third time watching Dark Knight. And the third time I've seen it. Third time I'm still not impressed.
It's a Blue Jean it's a Blue Jean commercial.
It's a fucking Blue Jean ad.
Yeah. It's all bullshit. Right.
Thought I'd throw that out there.
Yep, that's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
I was going to say, that's another thing that I don't like, but it's still only Superman, so I really only don't like Superman.
Do you like Superman when he goes around to Children's Hospital? Because I read this thing on the Alien Cyborgs Facebook page about how there's this guy who started a Kickstarter to be a Superman...
On tour.
Costume guy. And yeah, he wants to go on tour to different hospitals and cheer up the kids and yada, yada, yada.
Okay.
I don't quite get it because I feel like a lot of people do that already, and why should this guy tour the country doing it? But I don't know. Did you see this? You must
Yes. Know. It's his name is Dustin Duro, and he's a 25-year-old Superman fan, actor, costumer, and general do-gooder. He's been doing cosplay since 2007, and... It says here he wants to take it all on tour. He wants to take it on the road, and he wants to visit sick children everywhere, well, all along the United States, to bring his Superman on the road to bring good cheer, hope, and just all around doing good. You know what? Shit like this always gets to me because I'm a fucking... Underneath it all, I'm a fucking nice guy. I help people push their fucking cars when they're stranded in the fucking intersection. 9 times out of 10, I'm going to give somebody change if they want it. Me being unemployed, fucking, I'm hoping it comes back. So I kind of get into this. And he did this. Dustin does pull up it's called Indiegogo, which is kind of a different kind of Kickstarter.
Oh, is it an Indiegogo, not Kickstarter?
No, not Kickstarter.
Oh.
Indiegogo. What's with the grimace?
Well, On the plus side, Indiegogo lets you keep any money regardless of whether you make your goal or not.
That's good.
On Kickstarter, if you make your goal, you get to keep the money. If you don't, you don't get any money.
Who takes that money? It just goes back to the people?
It doesn't get charged. Like on Kickstarter, you give them your credit card and you whatever, you give $25, but they don't charge you the $25 until the day after the deadline. Then they charge everybody's credit cards. And if you didn't meet the goal, nobody gets charged.
Huh. This is kind of cool.
The plus on Indiegogo is that you get to keep whatever money gets given to you. The downside is Indiegogo is about a quarter the size of Kickstarter.
Well,
so you're not going to get the same amount of people.
Yeah, but you get it out there. You create a buzz. You get on Alien Cyborgs. You know, you have them push your shit.
But on Kickstarter, there's just a lot more. Like, if you can get to be, like, the featured Kickstarter thing of the week or whatever, it's like minting money for now. Until this shit starts getting taxed and regulated, it's like you can get Kickstarter money for almost anything.
All right, I hate Superman.
I was thinking about doing the same kind of thing where I have a Superman suit, and I wasn't going to go to a sick kids hospital so much, so I was going to do, like, a stripper tour.
Stop, stripper tour!
There's poor hookers in every city, right?
Stop. Except you're sullying this fucking poor guy's, you know, desire. Dustin, I commend you. I'm all for it. I may even be a mild-mannered reporter and donate a buck or two to your cause. He's at $2,482. He's trying to get a goal of $6,500, and he's got 23 days left. All because he's got a pretty shitty car that gobbles up gas. He needs to go 15,000 miles and... he'll be doing around 652 gallons in his 29 Dodge Caliber. Sorry, your shitty car is better than my no car. So,
see, now if he was smart, he would have started 6 months ago and got just a fucking flip cam or something and started recording all this and made a doc about it.
Well, there you go, Dustin. Put up a fucking video.
That should be his thing. Is like, this is my...
A mild-mannered reporter.
This is my bid... for King and Country to cheer up kids across America.
Did you hear
truth,
that?
Justice in the American way. And all the troubles that go into getting a good suit and getting the spit curl down and making enough money to get your car fixed to drive around.
That's an amazing
And you know
idea.
You know some hospital he's going to show up at and people are going to be like, what the fuck are you doing here? You're not one of our regularly scheduled costume people.
No, but I'm Dustin Durov. It's a good idea. And you know what? Dustin, go out and do that. And Alien Cyborgs only wants 2%. Of any money that you
make. Patent pending.
let's see. What do you get? The perks are for your contributions. $1 is a mild-mannered reporter. You get a public shout-out and a thank you on Dustin's Facebook page. $10 is faster than a speeding camera. You get an autographed 8x10 like the ones you will be giving to the children. $25, you are super friends. I like his. It's pretty clever. $25, you're super friends, and you'll be receiving the full packet that the kids will be getting with an autographed picture and a certificate. $50 is truth, justice, and a thank you. A handwritten note from Dustin. $75 is a bird. It's a plane. No, you get a poster plus the fucking package.
Wait, a poster of him?
Yeah. Leave him alone.
At what level do you get some Gleek turds?
That's at the $5,000 donation. At the $1,000, you get a Man of Steel. And Dustin, you know, I'm all behind you except for this part is a little... If someone's going to give you $1,000, he's going to... In addition to overwhelming gratitude, Superman will take you out for a meal, lunch or dinner, at a local restaurant of your choosing while on the tour. And you can have him dressed as Superman, Clark Kent, or Dustin Duro. U.S. residents only.
he'll come out dressed as himself?
Yeah. $1,000. I mean, kick a hand job. You know, it's for the kids, fucking Dustin, for Christ's sake. Now, all things aside, he's from Atlanta, Georgia, and I commend him. And he's the only Superman that I don't hate. Thank you for bringing that up, Matt. We'll be right back after these messages with more things that I don't hate that Matt hates and vice versa. Thanks for listening to Alien Cyborgs. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the... I got kind of stuck on reading this and didn't continue.
Hey guys, what's up? It's your new old friend, Jet Black from AlienCyborgs.com, and I'm here to tell you all about our friends from across the pond over in the United Kingdom. Nate's Game Informer has a page that's about video games, gaming news, funny pics, and a whole lot more. Nate's Game Informer is all about video games. They got news, photos, jokes, fan fiction, discussions, and a whole lot more. They got anything that'll get you through the day and make you laugh. So share their page with your friends. Oh, one thing I gotta tell you though, there is absolutely no negativity on this page because Nate is not afraid to drop the old ban hammer on your ass and ban you from his site. This page is for gamers who like to laugh and talk about games, so look him up over at facebook.com/Nate's Game Informer. Some people may find the pictures offensive, so you've been warned. Also, keep an eye out for their YouTube channel, Nate's Gaming Corner. Once again, that's Nate's Gaming Corner over at YouTube. So do us a favor, go to their page, like their page, and tell them the guys over at AlienCyborgs.com sent ya. Peace.
Geek Speak Geek Podcast. Podcasting from Los Angeles, California. Where else?
Hi, I'm Hannah Goh, winner of the Alien Cyborgs E3 giveaway, and when I'm playing Call of Duty, I listen to the Alien Cyborgs Geek Speak Geek podcast.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Jed over at Alien Cyborgs, and I'm hanging out here with the Baroness Ursula.
Hello.
Hello, Baroness. What are you doing?
Reading the latest issue of Game Informer.
Awesome. Anything good?
Not really.
Well, that's okay. That's not what we're here to talk about anyway. What we're here to talk about is AlienCyborgs.com and how we want you to go over to Facebook, look up AlienCyborgs.com in the search bar, and when you find us, hit the like button. That way, you get all the updates on our page. You'll see some fun geeky stuff that we post and some good stuff that other people post as well. And you'll also be able to find out when the latest blogs and podcasts are available over at AlienCyborgs.com. Oh, and don't forget to follow us on the Twitter. Say goodbye to the Sock Baroness.
Goodbye, Sock.
Later.
You're listening to the Geek Speak Geek Podcast with Movie Matt Diamond, Peter the Swordsman Tullio, and Jet Black Bolaño.
Bitch yapping about the trailer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, it's hard to find just the trailer sometimes. You're looking for a certain movie trailer, and it's like, you always find somebody else having posted the trailer and then adding their two cents at the beginning and the end. You can't just watch the trailer. You've got to watch them blather on. And it's always, again, it's always some high school girl who's got a thimble full of wisdom that she wants to dole out heartily amongst the... anyway. So, Red Dawn trailer we just watched.
Red Dawn trailer we just watched with starring Thor. Chris Hemsworth.
Because we haven't talked enough about Thor yet today.
I know. Jesus Christ, what is with this guy?
Well, this is another one, though. Much like Cabin in the Woods, this is an old Thor movie that he's been... This has been sitting on a shelf. Like, this is a... This is one of those... Cabin in the Woods is one of those sitting on a shelf because... For a reason, if you will. You know, things they went under. There was money problems.
Sure.
Other things sit on a shelf because they supposedly suck. And there's no good time to release them. This is more the latter. This is more, we're having problems because now nobody wants to have China be the bad guy, so maybe we'll reconfigure some things and just call it North Korea.
Why not Kerplakistan? Why not Latveria?
I don't know.
Why?
I guess people think it's not scary if it's not a real country. I don't see the point of it in the first place.
You don't do this to people who have nuclear weapons.
That's the thing that bugged me, too, about the trailers. They went on about, like, oh, they've got a next-generation weapon. You know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan from Watchmen there is all, they've got a next-generation weapon, and if they set it off, they'll destroy U.S. Central Command. And really? Like, I don't know. The thing I can't get past, and of course this is going to come up in a Shmishmake column in the future.
Because this is prime for Shmishmake. This is our Shmishmake smash.
The original Red Dawn is not a great film.
No. It was okay for its time.
But it is one of the great Cold War movies. One of these days I'm going to make up my big list of, like, Rocky IV.
Ooh.
Red Dawn. Maybe War Games.
How dare you, sir? That is a brilliant movie.
Strange Love. No, I'm not saying any of these movies are bad. I'm saying these are, like, prime Cold War movies.
Oh, Strange Love.
Some of them are
bad.
Yes. I mean, Strange Love is one of the greatest, you know, you can't... Yeah. Whereas Rocky IV is not really a very good movie. But as Cold War propaganda, it's a piece of gold. It is a diamond of Cold War propaganda.
Drago?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's awesome. It's so gloriously bad. Because all you have to do... And I mean, and the original Red Dawn is that... It's that sort of 14-year-old boy wish fulfillment scenario of, like, what if I had to fight for my home? What if I had to live in the woods with a machine gun, eating deer and killing Russians? You know, like,
that's Montana.
We even packed shit when I was a kid. We even had backpacks packed and ready to go in case that shit happened. You know,
loud.
I live in the sticks. We were ready to go. We had a plan.
That's right.
We had a plan.
That's right. You are like in.
I've shot shotguns and shit. I'm not
eating deers in the sticks.
I know, city kid.
That's right.
But yeah, and that was the thing. That's the whole idea. Is like, if you have good hometown American ingenuity and wholesome values and a machine gun, you can defeat the Russian army and the Cubans and whoever the fuck else invades.
Pick two, right?
Because that's just how it's going to happen. They're just going to invade, you know.
Of course. Because
the whole concept of a foreign nation paratrooping into American soil is so fucking absurd, I can't get past it.
I'm shaking my fucking head.
I mean, I don't know where this one's supposed to take place. I think it said Northeast somewhere in the trailer.
Yeah, then
I just can't get past the fact that they're yet again trying to do the image of paratroopers. As if you can paratroop. Oh my god, the stupidity of it.
I'd rather them beam them in. Like, that's the next generation weapon. Like, fucking beam them in. At that point in time, you're like, oh shit! There's just this stargate of Asians just pouring out. And it should be China, because like, you could give everyone in China a baseball bat, and they will, if they wanted to, they don't need weapons. They don't need planes. They could just be like those ants, and they just interlock each other and make a fucking human bridge, and Chinese people will walk over other Chinese people with baseball bats and come and ruin the American fucking way. There's so many of them. Not that I don't like Chinese, I'm just saying.
Okay.
No, but
yeah, it's a pretty lousy looking trailer. I mean, I do have a fondness for the original, yes, as a child of the 80s, and just as a great Cold War movie. Again, I have a fondness for that era, that whole idea of, like, we went 40 years where people were just afraid the world was going to end at any given time. Nuclear wars, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I'm so happy that
the whole world's going to be over. The Russians are evil.
I'm so happy that that's over.
They're not just another country. They're godless demon folk.
They eat children. You know what I'm more afraid of? Because it hasn't happened? Is the big one. The big one that they've been telling
us. Oh, the earthquake?
That they've been telling us Southern California children since the 70s. The big one. Hide under your desks.
Well, shit, you eventually, scare me. Yeah. It'll come.
A big truck rolls by my street, I'd fucking jump underneath my desk. They fucking made me so scared. Speaking of Child of the 80s and remake shmeeshmakes, saw this on Nuke the Fridge the other day. Again. Hellraiser remake being pitched.
I hope it's being pitched out a window and nobody's actually seriously considering it.
I don't know, man.
Now, I've heard about it for a while, to be honest. The most recent Hellraiser sequel for a while was set to be a reboot and then got changed.
Really?
Yeah, it was something to do with the Weinsteins not wanting to pull the trigger on a full-tilt big-budget remake. So they just bumped it to being another straight-to-video sequel.
The Weinsteins could retain the license. Unfortunately, Hellraiser Revelation killed any chance for any further installment. Now, artist Paul Gerard and director Mike Lee Hahn have teamed up to produce a teaser trailer for the version of Hellraiser reboot and plan on pitching it to studios in hopes of having it made. They have released some concept art for the fans to see their vision of what the new film will look like. It's pretty amazing stuff. It has an alien-esque rabbit ears, air ears, an alien-esque feel to it. What are the possibilities? Tell us what you think. Aliens?
Can I groan any harder?
Maybe they're not demons. Maybe they are aliens. And it's an interdimensional portal.
Just like how in Cowboys and Aliens, they thought the aliens were demons?
Yes, just like they thought the gods were gods when they're really just aliens in Thor.
There you go. Yeah, another one, obviously, completely not interested. Doug Bradley was a great pinhead. The original Hellraiser is awesome. There's no reason to remake it.
I love remakes. I love remakes. You know I love remakes. This is where you and I are polar opposites. But this time, no, don't shake your fist at me. This time, I'm standing behind you in the line in the sand.
Okay.
I believe that this movie, even with the special effects that they had at the time, is short of perfection. It's almost perfect.
It's a great film, yeah.
There's another movie, Exorcist. Never remake Exorcist. Yes. Does it fucking look like a prop on the bed with the head turning around? Sure. You know, never remake that.
Well, no, but that's the thing.
Because if they made it any more real, I would shit my
pants. I thought at first you were going to say something about some of the... There's a special effect here and there in the original Hellraiser that's kind of weak, too.
Sure.
But the thing is, that's...
It works!
It's not something you can complain about.
No.
Because any remake is also going to have a shitty effect or two in a digital way.
Sure, and you look back, you're going to look back in 20 years and
there's
go...
There's constantly shitty effects nowadays. You know what I mean? But the difference is, back in the day, when they were real, there was only one or two that you noticed being shitty. Now it all has sort of a fake sheen to it, a glossy crap. Yeah. I also
don't stand on your side of the line when it comes to that. There are certain CGI.
There's too much CGI in the world.
I don't think so. I don't agree with you.
There's too much. I'm not saying it all sucks. I'm just saying there's too much. People should use less. If you did more real, more movies would have more impact.
I will say that in this day and age, when they can make CG Hulks that look fucking phenomenal, why can't they make blood splatters and Fright Night look?
Yeah, exactly. And that's okay. The easiest thing to do in real life: splatter some fight blood around.
I know.
No. See, when it comes to that, I'm down for a CG Hulk. I love Gollum. I love that Iron Man looks so kick ass. You know?
Yes.
I'm not hating on any CGI. I'm just saying. Yeah, there's no reason for every splatter of blood to be CGI. There's no reason for everything to constantly be CGI, you know. Like, you can use it and use it well. Like, I've been watching Game of Thrones. It's a perfect example.
Love that movie.
Where I know they don't have shit tons of tents and castles and shit. Like, you watch that movie, and it just like with Lord of the Rings, they use it for backgrounds and to
matte painting,
enlarge the depth of the world.
Set extension.
And it looks awesome.
Yes.
And you don't notice it.
Except for some of the practical things that they did when they cut off Ned Stark's head and they put it right next to the George Bush head on the... that was a practical effect that was kind of, you know... Or we're going to wrap this section up. We got one more section coming. So come on back. We're going to be talking about Seychelle Gabrielle, who was wonderful enough to stop off at the Alien Cyborg Secret Hideout and give us an interview. We will be right back with all that in just a minute or two, so stay tuned.
Don't lose your head.
No.
Oh, alien cyborgs.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Geek Speak Geek Podcast. Podcasting from the City of Angels. Where else?
Hey guys, what's up? It's Jed over at Alien Cyborgs, and I'm hanging out here with the Baroness Ursula.
Hello.
Hello, Baroness. What are you doing?
Reading the latest issue of Game Informer.
Awesome. Anything good?
Not really.
Well, that's okay. That's not what we're here to talk about anyway. What we're here to talk about is AlienCyborgs.com and how we want you to go over to Facebook, look up AlienCyborgs.com in the search bar, and when you find us, hit the like button. That way, you get all the updates on our page. You'll see some fun geeky stuff that we post and some good stuff that other people post as well. And you'll also be able to find out when the latest blogs and podcasts are available over at AlienCyborgs.com. Oh, and don't forget to follow us on the Twitter. Say goodbye to the Sock Baroness.
Goodbye, Sock.
Later.
Hey, this is Seychelle Gabriel from TNT's Falling Skies, and I listen to the Geek Speak Geek podcast on AlienCyborgs.com. Boom.
Hey, guys, what it is? Jet Black here with another Alien Cyborg sponsor shout-out. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys is Houston's newest store dedicated to gamers and all the things that they love. They got t-shirts, figures, collectibles, posters, Japanese snacks, what? Plush toys, accessories, iWacko erasers, Gundam models, books, wall scrolls, and original artwork too. In addition, they carry an extensive line of vinyl toys, art toys, and designer toys. Things like the 2012 Dunny series by Kid Robot. They also have Unicornos from Tokidoki in stock, and each box is only $5 if you buy two or more. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys is located at 5169 Cypress Creek Parkway, FM 1960 West, Houston, Texas 77069, and their phone number is 281-440-1405. Once again, their phone number is 281-440-1405. Their store hours are Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday 12 to 6. Oh, and they're closed Mondays. You can visit their website at www.insomniavgc.com or go to their Facebook page at facebook.com/insomniavgc. Like their page and tell them the boys over at AlienCyborgs.com sent ya. Insomnia Video Game Culture and Vinyl Toys. No sleep, all play.
You're listening to the Geek Speak Geek Podcast with Movie Matt Diamond, Peter the Swordsman Tullio, and Jet Black Bolaño. Alien Cyborgs are go.
Hey guys, thanks for coming back. We are in the home stretch of the Alien Cyborgs Geek Speak Geek Podcast, and as usual, we are pulling stories from our Facebook page, and this week, rather last week, we were fortunate enough to have some in-studio guests. Seychelle, Gabriel. I must apologize because for the longest time, every time, even now, I just had to fight it. I see Gabriel, and I always say Gabriel because of my Filipino upbringing and how we pronounce certain things, plus a Spanish influence. So, Seychelle Gabriel, who was so sweet, who's so talented, and was so kind to come down to the Alien Cyborg Secret Hideout and give us a some one-on-one FaceTime to do an interview. Dude, she's young. She's talented. She's got a bright future ahead of her.
Is it so bright she's got to wear shades?
She wears her sunglasses at night. She's a little cutie.
Oh, obviously she's, yeah, easy on the eyes.
Yeah, she is easy on the eyes. She's been in quite a few things. I mean, you know her.
I liked her in The Spirit. I thought she was really good. I think that's an... The Spirit is another one, since we're still going on about comic book movies so much in this episode, that's another one I think gets harshly critiqued.
You know why?
Because it came out the same year as Dark Knight. I thought it was pretty good. It's just, it's poorly constructed.
Well, I think after seeing Sin City, everyone kind of... Sin City, conversely, is amazing.
No, Sin City, yeah. Sin City's awesome.
So I think people expected Sin City, Frank Miller, The Spirit, and...
They thought it was going to be more hardcore.
It's
yeah.
a different kind and of story.
Just, but no, she actually is really good in it, yeah. She's the young Eva Mendes.
Yeah, or the young Sans Serif. Seychelle came in. She was candid, she was frank, she was very cool, and she played guitar for us on the spot. Just put her on the spot. I had heard she's can sing, I heard she played guitar, and I know that she's, she even mentioned that she's going to try to push her musical career. But she played Blackbird, one of my all-time favorite guitar songs, and she played it well. So give that a listen to. Also, Alien Cyborgs had another interview.
With who now?
Well, this is, speaking of music, this goes to... Alien Cyborgs did an interview with the chiptune rock band I Fight Dragons. And these guys are kind of like rock, pop, and Game Boy. A lot of the stuff that they do is very kind of geek, niche-y. In fact...
Zelda rock?
Zelda rock, if you will. They've got a song called The Geeks Will Inherit the Earth.
Okay.
You know, they just came off of the Warped Tour. And we got a chance to catch up with Brian Mazzaferri, who's the lead singer and guitarist for the band. Mem Z, who's one of our contributing writers in Las Vegas, was able to do an interview with him. We got that up on the site, so go check that out. We're very happy for them. We're very grateful. Go listen to Kaboom, because it's a free download on their site. Or, if you do what I did, I actually purchased it off the iTunes.
Why not?
Well, if they're kind enough to give us an interview...
Remember to buy some dragons from iTunes. Buy some I Fight Dragons,
buy some I Fight Dragons. And check out, we've also posted some of their... videos, I love them.
They've got a couple of cool videos, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I thought that, I'd like them just because they were kind of geek rock, but they're actually really good.
Yeah.
So go give them a listen to on Alien Cyborgs Facebook page. We had a couple of deaths this week in the world of fandom. One of them is Mel Stewart, an award-winning documentarian and producer, died Thursday at the age of 83. In addition to making documentaries like The Making of President 1960, which won an Emmy, he's also best known for directing the 1971 classic Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. This comes from CinemaBlend.com. At least he did this movie, which was supposed to be, I found out, like kind of like a big commercial. It was a way of pushing Wonka bars, which was, I think at the time, putting a division of Nestle.
Aha, Nestle.
Yeah. So... I heard that this was going to be a big old just push. But it's got one of the my favorite songs. You know, the whole
Alien
close your eyes, count to three, and enter a world of pure imagination. And you know what?
Sing it!
I'm going to go on fucking record and say that Gene Wilder is the one and only Alien true Cyborgs Willy Wonka.
The true Wonka.
The true Wonka.
All right, all right.
Am I hating on Johnny Depp?
Sounds like it a little bit.
A little bit. I love Johnny Depp and everything he does, but... And I
not
know
that, everything, apparently.
I know that this is supposed to be closer to the character in the book, the Depp version.
Oh, is it?
Supposedly closer to the, you know, written Willy Wonka. But fuck that shit. Gene Wilder is what I grew up with, and that was practically perfect. So a moment of silence for Mel Stewart, who died at 83 this week, and another person that we lost, which is kind of bumming to me because I grew up seeing his work in comics and ads for his school that I wanted to go to.
I was going to say, as silly as it sounds, like I was more familiar with his ads for his, yeah, for his drawing school than for his work itself.
And who are we talking about?
Joe Kubert.
Yeah.
Is it Kubert or Kubert? I assume it's Kubert. I'm not
positive. I want to say it's Kubert, but tomato, tomato. His son, Adam, was also a comic book artist and teacher at the school. I wanted to go to that school. Fuck, man. It was always that, like, picture of this kind of Kazar, Tarzan-like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, with the little kind of googly-eyed flying reptile. He died. At what age does it say?
86. He would have been 90 and 16.
Yeah, so Joe dies at 86. Man, that's a long fucking career. Anyway, moment of silence for those two guys. Thank you for all the work that you've done, and we appreciate it. And that's pretty much it. Oh, wait, we've got one last thing for the alien.
Whoa, one last thing.
One last thing. It's a game. An Alien Cyborgs drinking game.
Oh, no, you mean Lord of the Rings drinking game.
Well, Alien Cyborgs is in, it's on our website. But yes, it's a Lord of the Rings drinking game. Drink when there's a close-up of the ring. The entire fellowship is on screen. Gandalf goes serious wizard mode. Sounds good, though. You know what? I'm going to get Pete, and I'm going to grab you, and we're going to try this one night.
I think what we should do instead is start making up our own Alien Cyborgs version
of
popular
games.
Movies.
All right.
That'd make a little more sense and have less haphazard rules. Like, that's kind of... Every time there's a close-up of the ring, you know, that's... it needs to be a little more intricate and well, right. Planned out, I think.
Well, then let's fucking forge this, and let's do this.
Forged in the heart of Mordor.
Forged in the heart of Mordor, drinking much beer and ale. Magic Matt Dinan and Jet Black.
And there should even be a thing. You should, it should have to be ale or Hobbit Leaf. You know, ooh, like you could be smoking if you're, you know, if you're toking the Hobbit Leaf. Like,
okay,
Marion Pippin.
Okay, really quick. Or, is your take on that long bottom leaf, is that tobacco or...
It's absolutely pot. Come on.
I don't know. I think they turned it into pot in the movie because I've read the books. Have you read the books?
I've only read the first.
Okay. And they smoke long bottom leaf, and there's no indication that they go get Scooby snacks or they go for munchies and beer and salted pork and all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think it's something that...
Or did you just read them before you were aware?
You know what?
You know, sometimes you read stuff and you don't get everything.
Or
you watch a movie when you're an adult and you're like, holy shit, this is so full of references I didn't understand.
It is about time that I reread, because I'm about to reread The Hobbit, and I reread The Lord of the Rings like every fucking 4 or 5 years or so.
Oh, okay.
So I think I'm going to be on a journey to do that, journey to Middle Earth, and I don't know, we'll see. And if it is, then...
A Hobbit's Quest, if you will.
Yeah, then we will fucking get Stony Mahoney, Red Eye Jedi. And I think, man, I think we made it.
Where?
To the end of another Alien Cyborgs Geek Speak Geek podcast.
What?
Nice.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, so, you know, all you other fuckers and fans and fan fuckers out there, log on to the Alien Cyborgs page over at www.aliencyborgs.com. Check us out.
Go read a shmishmake now and then.
Please, and leave a comment. Tell a fucking friend.
Even if you hate it.
Even if you hate it, say you hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just say something. For fuck's sake, we do this for you. No, fuck you. We really do it for us. And if you enjoy it, thank you. Leave a fucking comment. Like us on Facebook. Leave a comment on Facebook. Because we need some validation here in the world of Alien Cyborgs. Anyway, this is Moping Matt Dinan and Jet Black. saying thanks very much, you guys, for listening to another Alien Cyborg Geek Beat Geek podcast. Thank you to Seychelle Gabriel And thank you to I Fight Dragons for their interviews. Check them out. Like their pages. And go out and enjoy the day. Go play. Peace.
In the future, I want to see Seychelles fight dragons.
Ooh. Done. I'm on it. Peace.
Alien Cyborgs are go.
Alien Cyborgs would like to thank their sponsors, Comics vs. Toys. Make Comics vs. Toys your one-stop shop for all your comics and toy needs. Check them out at comicsversustoys.com or come by the store at 1613 Colorado Boulevard in Los Angeles, California. Alien Cyborgs would also like to thank Insomniatic Music and Mr. E Records for all the additional music tracks. You've been listening to the Alien Cyborgs Geek Speak Geek podcast with Movie Matt Dinan, Peter the Swordsman Tulio, and Jeff Black Olano. To hear more Geek Speak Geek podcasts, log into AlienCyborgs.com and click on the podcast tab. Follow us on Twitter and search for us on Facebook and like our page. This has been an AlienCyborgs.com production.
Alien Cyborgs are go.